All right, good morning. It's 9 a.m. the 27th day of October, 2025. This is a regular meeting of the Marion County Commissioners Court. Today present is myself, County Judge Lee Report. Commissioner Precinct 1, Mr. J.R. Ashley, Commissioner Precinct 2, Mr. Jacob Patterson, and Commissioner Precinct 3, Mr. Jared R. Lee. Today absent is Commissioner Paul D. Webb. We will begin with a prayer. Jacob, if you'll start us off on that, please.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for allowing us to come here to take care of county business. We thank you for each and every blessing. We ask your blessings over this proceeding, Lord, to help us to make the right decisions to help Marion County. We ask your blessings over the people of Marion County. And we give you thanks, praise, and glory, Lord. And out of everything, we ask and pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
First item on the agenda is the consent agenda.
Financial services, that's our credit card. Payment came in too late to get into the bills. We'll be due before the next week.
How much did it take?
And the amount is $6,089.
Motion to approve the consent agenda. With a manual check number 83701, the amount of $6,089 to pay our credit card, as presented by Terry.
Second. Motion made by Ashley, second by Patterson. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two. Two for approval. Tom, how do you say your last name?
Tom Dougal.
Tom Dougal, Pathway Power, Service Advisors, to make a presentation to the court.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
First of all, thank you so much, Judge LaFleur. Thank you so much, Commissioners, for having me back once again. My name is Carly Keats. And with Pathway Power, we have that proposed solar and battery storage project that we're calling Green Ridge off of Highway 49, off of Wilkes Power Plant Road. And just a quick update on the project, it's going really, really great, continuing to just move through normal land development processes, engineering, and real estate activities. So no major updates really to the actual physical project itself, but it is continuing to move through all those processes as well as interconnection. So no news to report, which is good news, right? So that's good. But we did, as part of our process on the kind of financial side, I'd like to introduce Tom. He's the actual expert here when it comes to taxes. So I wanted him to present some ideas to you all. It's just kind of informative today, no decisions, something like that. But just let you guys know what we're thinking about, and then we'll come back together at a future date. I sent this to Sandra so late, and I apologize. So I printed copies if she was unable to. I told her I would, because that was our fault that we were late on that one. So. And should I leave one for Mr. Brown?
No, I would like to have that to give it to the newspaper man.
And I have more copies as
Probably, do you want one for the record?
Yeah, or I can have yours after you're done with it. It doesn't matter.
If you got it.
Yeah, I got it. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
You, okay. Thank you, Carly. So, good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Tom Dooley. I'm with Cirrus Advisors. We are a state and local tax firm who does a lot of economic development and development consulting in regard to the state and local tax environment. I've had the good fortune of working in Texas for the majority of my career. Should have moved here a long time ago, so everyone tells me my family's ugly and lives here. But no, what I want to talk to you guys today about is looking at, you know, we're going through, you know, the development process and getting to our financial, you know, investment decision. And a big part of that is looking at our ongoing operating costs, of which, you know, the majority of those operating costs over the next foreseeable future a lot of it comes in the form of ad valorem taxation, which we're more than happy to pay, but it definitely, typically when you're looking at a financial model for a project, most of the projects we look at have a 1 to 3 year horizon. This project's a little bit different in the fact that it's making a lot of commitments and decisions on day one that go out to about 35 to 40 years. So it makes the financial modeling a little bit tougher than some other projects otherwise would be. So I thought I'd talk to you guys today, kind of skipping over to looking at, you know, just a quick thing. You know, this is a solar and battery storage hybrid project, you know, about 150 megawatt solar, 150 megawatt battery, fairly significant size project. So we're dealing with fairly significant size commitments. But if we go to the page to talk about ways that, you know, we can partner with the county in this regard with the property taxation, looking at there's the Chapter 312 statute and there's the Chapter 381. And I wanted to just briefly, not bore you to death with all this, but briefly talk about how they work. The Chapter 312 is actually a tax abatement and a pilot with a pilot payment in lieu of tax agreement coupled to it. It has a statutory approval process, which begins with adopting guidelines and criteria. Then the next step will be designating a reinvestment zone. And all a reinvestment zone is, if you're not familiar with it, but if you are, it's literally taking the parcels that this project encompasses and designating them as a reinvestment zone. That's all. It's just a procedural. Again, then the statement of abatement of eligibility goes along with that. And then finally, we get to an agreement approval, which the agreement works in the fact that it will say the project in the reinvestment zone is for 10 years, period of 10 years, it is 100% tax abated. However, there'll be a agreement that's coupled with it, a payment in lieu of taxes, where the company will write a check each year for an agreed upon amount for the 10 years in lieu of those taxes. That's how the Chapter 312 works. The other option under Texas statute is Chapter 381. Chapter 381 is otherwise known as an economic development agreement, or the easiest way to think about it is it's a private public contract between the county and the company. And its process is simply agreement terms and agreement approval. It's a shorter process, but we'll go into some detail about the great differences between them, the pros and cons. So, and typically what counties look at for these type of projects. You know, the thing about the 312, the actual process of that is, it's, you know, once it's approved, once we go through the process and the procedures of getting approved, there's really no work that's done by the county. There's nothing else that occurs other than on an annual basis, as the project goes into service, it writes a check, a payment in lieu of taxes for its tax liability to the county. Good thing about this one is it provides predictable, you know exactly what the tax relief is, or the tax money that's coming into the county on an annual basis for 10 years. It's a guaranteed revenue stream. Sometimes the cons that are talked about is its process. It is a more formal process. It requires several commissioner court meetings for approving certain steps. It just takes a little bit longer. Whereas the 381, you know, that's from the pro side of it, it's less paperwork, it's faster approval process, it does have different flexibility to it. However, it does require ongoing work by the county on an annual basis. And with that, because how it works, instead of the company paying the county is going to pay its taxes normally, and then the county is going to have to budget or put an appropriation together every year for that amount of the tax or rebate that it's going to send back to the company. So it is an ongoing process. It does affect the budget, you know, just being fully transparent. It will require, you know, annual appropriations by the county. I'm going to stop for a minute just because if there's any questions, please interrupt me as I'm going along here.
After 10 years, is there a certain amount that it would depreciate so much that we would only have 20 years or 25 more years of lifespan? So I don't want to look like it's because most of us, or I won't be here after 10 years. What will, we've got a whole lot of people coming in the first 10 years. I don't know really how to explain it then. What we will know what to expect that before the
sure, absolutely. I'm going to get these numbers, but I won't answer that question because I think it's a great question. The greatest thing about these projects are they are annuity. They never fully depreciate. So they will go to a 20% floor, but it's forever. And if there's any new additional investment, like particularly with batteries, there's potentially some augmentation that will occur over the lifespan of the project. Any capital repairs, that goes on to the books at fully taxable. So it starts the clock over for that particular piece. So this project will never not be taxable. It will go to a 20% floor for the most part per state statute starting in year 11. So, you know, if it's $200 million, it'll still have a significant tax base at year 11 through 40, and it will pay full taxes forever. Additionally, the entire life of the project, the other districts, like the two school districts that are involved here, they will get approximately, I think it's 20, projected about $28 million over the lifespan of this project. We're just looking at it the 35 to 40 years. So it pays full taxes on that. The only rate that we're talking about that these potential partnerships would affect would be the county rate.
But you'll come up with the numbers of knowing.
Yep, I'm going to get one of our back things here. We'll kind of show our representative ask and what the differences are between the two, and it'll give you a flavor for the value.
And so you'll be able to explain to me about how we were paying. Okay, like you give us so much, but we give you so much back for the first 10 years.
Correct. And wait, depending on how the court wants to move forward, under a 312, it will be just a steady stream of revenue to the county in the form of a check that will write each year to the county. Whereas the other one requires some different regulations, which I'll get into with the numbers. But yes, it would be, you know, we would be paying the county.
Do we need to have like a workshop just specifically for this to know exactly what you're asking for?
Sure, we can do that. I think that when we get to our last slide here, it'll be pretty clear we can lay that out. We also, as a follow-up, happy to lay out the entire stream of revenue to all the different districts for you. I tried to keep this just so we were just talking about the one thing, but for your benefit. But no, absolutely, we can send and lay out the entire, depending on which one you guys want to go, we can lay out the entire 40 years for you so that you see exactly your banner with the numbers.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure. All right, so if we flip then, you know, so basically I've just tried to summarize this, Carly and I did, you know, to kind of tell you the differences between the two, because they are, you know, two very different processes. 312 is basically a structured and transparent framework. You know, it has clear requirements and performance standards, you know, throughout the term of the agreement that are dictated, you know, under that statute. 381 is a more flexible, you know, typically used as an economic development incentive tool because it doesn't have as many guidelines, curves, and regulations to it. And then if we get to the part where we're talking about looking at the actual numbers, you know, and again, we can obviously extrapolate this out in further detail, but just to give you the snapshot of what the actual look would be in this case, you know, under a 312, you'll see that our annual CAD payment down to, for the first 10 years down to $1 million, you know, it's a budgetable and steady amount each year that the company, once all the agreements are in place, we are responsible for the maintenance of that and the payment of the pilot, just like we would be under any other, you know, tax circumstance. And then, like I said, years 11 through 40, I just put a footnote at the bottom, years 11 through 40 would be full payments to all districts without any break at all. Whereas the 381 rebate representative here, you can see that what happens is the asset actually goes on the tax rolls year one. So it does affect the county ratios, whereas under 312 it does not. It goes on the rolls, and we will pay tax. And then the county, to get to the same amount, would have to write, you know, would have to budget and then write, you know, a rebate, for lack of a better word, or an economic development payment check each year for that amount to get to the total. So they work just a little bit different from that standpoint, as I was saying earlier. And, you know, one is you do the procedural process up front, and it's fairly automatic. The other one is there's not much procedural process up front. You basically negotiate a contract, but then there's a lot of work each year on the back end of it, is the best way to say that.
So on that last page, after 10 years, you go into the 11th year?
Yes.
Where I guess we would only be paying or receiving $43,000?
No, actually, that's the net under that scenario if we were doing a rebate. You're going to receive approximately, just doing the math, it's probably going to be a near $200,000 payment per year for years 11 through 40. That's just the county, the one county district part of that.
But this will all be where we can see.
Yeah, I would put it out to the full 40 years for you. That's a problem. Happy to do that. Trying to get it to fit on the page so we could all read. Especially me.
Yeah, so Commissioner Ashley, we just wanted to present the two ideas, but we'll bring like full financial understanding once y'all kind of inform us of which process you'd like to start to understand, or we can kind of dual path it and give you everything, and then you guys can decide too, either way. But we just wanted to present the ideas today, and then we can get into like full specifics, in a future meeting.
Okay, you said the 381 is a greater risk to the county than the 312 up here, so.
So typically, and listen, I don't want to pretend to get into the state ratios, but what I've been told by other counties and other county judges, the reason that they prefer Chapter 312 is that when a large capital project comes onto their tax rolls, sometimes the way the state ratio works, you don't actually keep all of the tax revenue that project generates in year one. So a 381 would be like it normal. You know, company comes in, they're assessed, goes fully onto the tax rolls in year one and continues through, and then it's the county's responsibility to adhere to the Chapter 381 contract for whatever the rebate amount is each year. Whereas on the 312, it's like the project, as far as the county tax rolls are concerned for 10 years, it's like it didn't happen. It doesn't go on the rolls. It goes on there, but it's 100% removed. So by the time it actually hits the county tax rolls in year 11, it goes on at 20% of the value, which is the state statutory appreciation for this type of an asset. So if you think about it that way, that's what I've been told. Again, I don't pretend to understand every ratio in Marion County or how that affects you guys, but that's the feedback I've received over 25 years of doing this in different counties in Texas, that typically that's why they prefer on these larger CapEx projects to go with the 312. The 381 that I've typically seen used is a lot of times it's used in counties that have, and I'm going to remember that it's been a while since I've done one, they have the 4A sales tax funds that they use for economic development, and therefore they already have a pot of money that's already budgeted appropriate that they make those payments out of, rather than having to rely on the current revenue of the project coming in.
Okay, so after 40 years, you just close up shop, shut it down?
Well, that's a great question. I would like to tell you that we would hope not. The goal would be, you know, with an energy project of this size, we'd like to operate it as long as we possibly can, you know, assuming that it's going to work. You know, obviously it's a lot of planning today to think about 40 years from now and understanding the financials then, but the goal would be that the project would continue to run just like any other type of energy project. We'd like it to keep going. And at some point, you know, the obvious thing is at some point, I will tell you, this is my belief, and I'm not necessarily speaking for Carly, but, you know, based on what I've seen and these type of projects, I believe the technology is going to continue to get better. And I believe that there's going to be continued investment because, you know, much like if you look at batteries themselves, companies will spend a lot of money to replace the batteries as they've gotten better, even though they're not at the end of their useful life. What does that mean for counties? That's actually a great answer because it comes on it. You know, it starts the clock all over again and they come back on at full value. Basically, they produce more revenue at the end of the day for the counties.
Okay.
Sure.
Ask a question, sorry.
Sure.
When I'm thinking back to when, like, the city worked and built the Norbert plant, or West Frazier now, it was on a abatement program, I think it was 312, maybe at the time, I'm not really sure. It was a depreciating or reverse scale on the abatement. So it started at 100% the first year, second year was 10, 20, 30, et cetera. So they gradually ramped into higher tax base per year. Do they still do those, or are they just not recommended anymore?
It's a really good question. We have proposed a flat line payment for us so that we know what, to be quite frank, it's beneficial to us. We know what our payment's going to be, but you also, the same goes for you guys, you know what it's going to be because we're agreeing. But no, absolutely, the 312 does allow any sort of coming up with that pilot payment that you would so deem to do it. So it would allow us to put a sliding scale up or down. You know, we would adjust the pilot payment for that if that was the, you know, the preferred way of going. We did it from the standpoint of looking at it saying, okay, we're going to pay less in years 1 through 5. We're probably going to pay more in years 6 through 10 because of the way that the depreciation would work. So we just flatline it so it's the same amount every year. So there's a topsy-turvy benefit there, by the way.
If and this is just me, if we were to say, okay, we're going to do the 312 and request the pilot payment, could it be that we say as a court, yeah, we want your $1,090,090, but we want it all up front.
Yes. You absolutely can, Judge. That is the flexibility of a 312 with a pilot. I have seen those two where it may be two payments. Here's 1 and 2, and then there's no payments, you know, through the course of the rest of the 10 years. It really can be, that is the true flexibility on it.
Okay.
Heaven forbid, something happens.
Yep.
There was a bad fire out that direction years ago. There's big hailstorms that have just totally wiped out some of these solar plants.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If we took that 312, you're just getting this for so long, but how does that work? I mean, when it totally wipes out one of these plants, I'm not going to go back and rebuild that thing right then.
Well, it's a really good question. And again, I don't want to predict the future, but I will tell you from a numbers standpoint. If that happens in year 25 of the project.
I'm talking about
here. No, I got it. That's what I'm saying. I get it. If that happens in year 25 of the project, I would say in today's world, you're probably right that they will probably have to
close shop
and start over, right? If it happens in year 1 or 2, though, I will tell you that the commitments that they've made, because you have to remember the commitments not only to the land side of things, interconnect, power purchase, all of those different milestones and contracts, those are all for that duration, that 30-year plus, you know, commitment. So if it happens in years 1 or 2, you know, I'm not going to speak for you, but there is contingencies for stuff like that. They would probably have to rebuild to fulfill their commitments for that.
On that 312, they're still going to pay that because that's a great call all the way through.
If it's in service and you sign that contract, you're obligated for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, the 312 absolutely obligates you when you do a pilot payment. You're obligated to the county that you're, you know, contracted with.
And just a note too, we have already tons of insurance modeling in place regarding hail, tornado, storm surge. Thankfully, up here we don't have storm surge from hurricanes, but you know, all the different factors, you know, even frost, you know, anything like that. We, the solar panels themselves are on trackers, so if we hear that hailstorm's coming, we go full, you know, tilt so that it reduces the amount of hail. So, and we have ways to get them back online quicker based on all of, you know, the insurance parameters. So,
I know y'all have learned a lot in the last couple of years.
Yes, exactly. And back to technology, a lot has changed in their ability to withstand hurricanes, ability to withstand hailstorms. So, you know, the technology is getting better and better.
That's just my question, because if you give such a huge, you know, and then something happens.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good
the county's in a
hell
loss, you know, so.
That's why I wanted my money up.
I hear you.
It's not unheard of either, honestly. It's really not. Not to make light of that, but it is true.
We can bring that to Mr. Lee and make some.
And I think, you know, we'd be happy to talk about those differences.
Yeah, we could, yeah, we're happy to work through and chat about it.
I'm not funny, kind of.
I feel that way too.
If you go to Berkshire's,
they won't
pay that bill.
That's right. That is true. That is true. Okay. So, you know, I kind of threw this out, but we've kind of already talked about it. What are the next steps? Really, at the end of the day, it's for y'all to decide which path you want to, which path you may want to go in. And then we would work with you guys and the county attorney of your designation to, you know, if we go 312, the first steps are to adopt guidelines and criteria for the 312. They're very simple. They're simplistic in nature. Typically, it is a opportunity for the county to put in their touch to it. There are many examples out there in the counties, but obviously there might be something specific to Marion that you didn't think. That is a simple, develop the guidelines, they're read in commissioner's court, and you approve them much like any other kind of resolution. Then we would move forward to the next steps. Now, if it's a 381, that's more, like I said, of a contract negotiation, and I'm going to put my legal hat on because I'm not a lawyer, but I'm pretty sure that would just be passed under a normal, as you pass any contract in county business, probably even under a consent agenda. Most of them are done.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the directional.
You guys got any more questions?
Not at this time.
Okay. I think what we'll do is if you guys will set us up some numbers on both.
Yep. Yeah.
We will have a workshop one day. That's okay. All we talk about.
Okay.
And I think that would probably be the best idea for this court.
Gives us an opportunity to do some,
absolutely,
do some research.
Yeah. Would you like us at the workshop?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you all so much. Appreciate it.
Excuse me. All right, no action taken on item number two. And item number three, we're going to table that for a future meeting. So I need a motion to table item number three.
I'll make a motion to table item number three on the agenda.
Second. Motion by Patterson, second by Ashley. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number four, assess to consider action on future workshops about work infrastructure grant. As everyone well knows, we've been working on this infrastructure grant for a couple of years now, and we finally received it in the form of a tag along on a bill that was passed in the last legislative cycle. It's $10 million that we can use for water sewer infrastructure. And I would like the court's direction on when we need to set some workshops up, because we've got a lot of work to do before we can start using this grant funding. Like, I'll give you an example. If the city of Jefferson wanted to do a project with them being a governmental entity, how we're going to pay the 10%, whether we're going to pay it and help them do it, and we reap the benefits of it, because they don't necessarily have the money to do that up front. We could take it out of whatever. I mean, just stuff like that. In the past, we've had water grants through the Harlton Supply, where we provide the grant funding, they provide the match, if that makes sense. So there's just a lot of stuff that we're gonna have to figure out.
I think we need to try to have something next week.
Okay.
Is that far enough out? Do you need to go 2 weeks, that way gives people enough notice?
Probably so, because we have to post now.
Yeah.
So next month sometime.
Yeah. We have to post, but you do 4 business days.
You've got, when is our next commissioner's court? The 10th?
I believe.
November the 2nd, Monday?
10th.
That's the 10th.
Yeah. I'm good with whatever you guys decide.
What if we did it after that? Could we do it after
10 o'clock or something? Or after the meeting? We have to have a sign though, don't we?
Yeah, we have to post it.
Post it, but could we do it after our commissioner's court?
Yeah, we can just add it to the agenda.
And do it at the end of the
day. Do it at the end. We can take as much time as we want to.
All right. Wait, we're here.
Yeah.
Do that, and that gives everybody enough time to get their stuff.
So what I'm gonna do is take out the word workshops and just add that on probably our commissioner's court agenda almost semi-permanently for, at least for the end of the year, for sure.
Yeah.
Good. So I need that in the form of a motion.
Make a motion that we have the future workshop, the workshop in our commissioner's court agenda, I guess, placed on our agenda.
Okay.
For the rest of the year.
For the rest, well.
At least.
For the rest of the year, at least.
And then we'll reconvene as the first year, if we still need to keep going, we will.
Second.
Okay, motion by Lee, second by Ashley, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn by Commissioner Ashley, second by Commissioner Tackett, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, we are adjourned, thank you, ladies and gentlemen.